If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to take them and go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We started Acts chapter 8 last week. We'll read the first three verses that we preached on last week, and then we'll keep it all in context and focus mostly on verses 4 through 8 for the rest of the message. We are transitioning from God doing His work specifically in Jerusalem with the New Testament church, with the new church here. And now all of a sudden, because of this persecution, because of Stephen's death, the church is scattered into parts of Judea and Samaria. Now Samaria is made up primarily of what, you know, for lack of a better term, people who have inbred, and when I say that, I don't say that in an ugly way. They've inbred between cultures, between Jewish cultures and Gentile cultures. And so the Hebraic Jews primarily didn't have anything to do with the Samaritan Jews. They, as a matter of fact, there was great angst and hatred between them. And so now we see the gospel going to these people. Notice this, just as a general concept, that I see it all the time and I see it throughout Scripture, that Jesus unifies all people. No matter, now listen to the way I'm saying this, no matter what their culture might be, no matter what their skin tone might be, no matter what continent they're from, no matter what caste system they may have come from, no matter what social or socioeconomic conditions they've come from. In other words, when people unify under the gospel, under Jesus Christ, it's amazing how all those differences go away. You see, the church is one. The Bible says that we're one race. We're the human race, and we come under the banner of Jesus Christ. Listen, people who are unspiritual view other people by their outward appearance. Even in the Old Testament, when Samuel, the prophet of God, was trying to determine who the next king would be of Israel, the king after God's own heart, Samuel went and, I'm forgetting the name of the dad's house he went to. What's that? Jesse. Jesse, that's right. He went to Jesse's house, thank you, and he was going to find the king among all those brothers. And of course, Samuel went and he went to look at the strongest and biggest, because the current king of Israel was a huge man named Saul. But he wasn't a man after God's own heart. He was chosen by the people, not chosen by God. And when it all came down to it, Samuel couldn't find the next king, and he said to Jesse, I mean, do you have another son? And, you know, he was kind of an afterthought. Yeah, he's the one tending to the sheep outside. He was the ruddy little guy, the youngster out there. And he went, and no one could believe that this was going to be the guy that would be crowned the new king of Israel. And God reminded Samuel. He said, Samuel, men, people look at the outside, but God looks at the heart. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons in that regard. So the beautiful thing that we're seeing here is that the gospel is now moving beyond Jerusalem and going to different areas, to different people groups. And I've titled the message today, The Results of Biblical Preaching. Last week we looked at Saul the persecutor. Today we want to see what the results of biblical preaching are. Look at Acts chapter 8. Let's stand together. We'll read verses 1 through 8. And Saul approved of their killing him. Who? Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death by those who were opposed to the message. And Saul was there, and he approved of their killing them. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The word scattered means to cast out seed. That's literally the concept here. And so the people or the seed were cast out. They were cast around the region and throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, wreaking havoc on the church, the Bible says, mauling the church, literally, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. And we focused last week toward the end of the message on Satan always goes and attacks the family. He wants to destroy the home. And there's no coincidence here that Saul was used by Satan to go and attack Christians, and he attacked them in the home. And those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Notice what happened here. They didn't go and hide after this persecution. As a matter of fact, they did just the opposite. They publicly made Jesus known. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the same signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For which shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Let's pray. Father, we see in these first three verses this unbelievable persecution that came upon your people. And we see that they were scattered. And as a result of being scattered, the seeds of the gospel through the people going all over the place and preaching your word was planted. Those seeds started to grow, and there was even harvest that took place early on. We thank you for what we see here, and we thank you for the centrality of the Word of God and the message that was preached and what we can learn from it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The results of biblical preaching. Four things I want you to see just right off the bat. I could have preached a message on these four things. We see a great persecution in these first eight verses. We see a great scattering, as we've already mentioned. We see great preaching, and then we see great production. We see what the results of all of that took place. So that's the four things that are at work here. But I want to focus in on what was preached. The first thing I want you to see here, the results of biblical preaching, is this. Number one, when we have true biblical teaching or preaching, Jesus is proclaimed. Jesus is proclaimed. The Bible says in verse 5 that Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. In verse 4 it says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. What does John 1:1 tell us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that Jesus himself is the Logos. He is the Word. The Logos means the Word of God in the Greek language. And so it says here, those who had been scattered went preaching the Logos, and then Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. The focus of all preaching is Jesus. He's the focus. The focus shouldn't be, I want to give you 5 steps to a successful life. It's not to say that you can't maybe say that and say, okay, here's how to have an obedient life, but the focus is still Jesus. Because even after we're saved, the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. We're to proclaim Him. And what's so sad in the days in which we live is that there's so many churches that proclaim a lot of things, but they don't say a whole lot about Jesus sometimes. What was the thing that got these apostles and got these Christians in trouble early on? What was it? What was the things that was disturbing these religious leaders all the time? It was because they were preaching in His name. I mean, we've already traveled through that. And every time they got in trouble with the religious leaders, it was because of the message and who they were preaching. We are called Christians. Can anybody tell me who's the focus of that word? Christ. Christ. Christians was a derogatory term back in the day. And you know what? It's becoming that today. We say true Christians, but you know, I think Don Brookings and I talked about this one time. He says, "Well, you know, really, it's kind of like an oxymoron saying true Christians, or it's not really. But you're either a Christian or you're not. If you're a Christian, you are a true Christian, right? But there are people who are Christian in name only. They claim to be Christians, but they don't live it. Jesus was proclaimed. Philip was one of these servants in Acts chapter 6 that was chosen, one of the 7. And he served, but not only did he serve, but he preached the message, and he went where God led him to go, and he went down to a city in Samaria, and he proclaimed the Messiah there. Y'all, listen, we shouldn't be preaching our church. We shouldn't be preaching our worship leader. We shouldn't be preaching our pastor. You follow what I'm saying? The focus is, it shouldn't be come hear our pastor preach. It shouldn't be come and experience our great worship band. It should be, we come here to preach Jesus. He's our message. He's the focus of our worship. And that's where the power is. And Jesus even said in John chapter 14, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So church, I just want to remind you, I hear people say this, well, you're preaching to the choir. Well, I mean, yeah, and you know what? That's not bad. We are to preach to the choir. We are to preach and teach the Christians and develop each other and grow and build up one another in the Lord. And I want to build you up today and encourage you. Listen, proclaim Him. Proclaim Him to your children. Point to Jesus. Man, they went, and he went and preached the Messiah. The second thing is this, the results of biblical preaching, is that, listen, while there will be many who won't receive it, there will be many who will. The people heard, people will hear, and they will pay close attention to what is being said. I don't care if you go out on the street today somewhere where they're having an LGBT, I don't even know what you call it nowadays, but I mean, I'll tell you what I'll call it. It's the worst perversion you've ever seen. 2 weeks in a row now in Seattle. The other was some other American city. I can't remember that city. And I think somewhere in Canada now. It's 2 weekends in a row, a bunch of naked people, mostly naked men, completely naked, riding on bikes in broad daylight on a Saturday in the city streets of cities in our country with children standing there. I call it perversion. So it doesn't matter where you are. I'm not saying you should go to a naked bike parade, okay? I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is you go to one of these parades or whatever they're having, even there, if you start to proclaim Christ, people will shout you down and laugh at you and get in your face, but I guarantee you somebody's going to be listening. Somebody. And in this situation, it says, when the crowds heard Philip. And then it says, and they all paid close attention to what he said. When you preach Jesus, when the Bible is being preached properly, people will listen. There will always be people who will listen. And first this starts with hearing, and then they pay close attention to what's being said. I believe that's a result of solid biblical preaching. People are listening. Number three, result of biblical preaching is there is a visual evidence of the power of the gospel. Visual evidence. Verse 6, it says, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed. Now listen to me. They saw it. There was visual evidence of the power of the gospel. Now keep in mind, though Philip wasn't an apostle, he was granted the same ability to perform the same signs that the apostles performed. He was going into a new area for the very first time to preach the gospel for the very first time. He was able to do the exact same things that Jesus himself did. We call it apostolic gifts that God gave. And he was doing amazing things as God was using him, and people saw the signs he performed. I believe when we are preaching the biblical truth, we too will see biblical signs. We will see signs of change in people's lives when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest sign is the healing of one's soul when you go from death to life. And there's visual evidence you see it in people's lives. I'll tell you, I'd even go this far to say this, that I have seen over all my years so far in ministry, I've seen people who are living ungodly, living in sin, living in darkness, and they came to their senses and they were gloriously saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you could literally see the change on the countenance of their face. Now, I'm not going to mention a person's name, but she comes to our church. And I remember telling her that years ago. I said, you know, you look like a different person. You know why? Because she is a different person. She's a new creation in Jesus. And that face of pain and drug addiction and darkness that she lived in had been translated and transformed into peace and joy. There is visual evidence of the power of the gospel. But this one goes with that one. Let me give you the fourth thing. There is also transformation that takes place out of the kingdom of darkness. There is transformation that happens. It says here, for which shrieks and impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. I believe biblical preaching over time brings about spiritual transformation. Notice, though, these demonic spirits, the spirits of darkness. They didn't want to come out with shrieks. I don't know about you today, but man, when I watch some of the news today and I watch some of these things and people who can't get their way and they scream in the camera's face or they scream in the face of other people. I mean, I saw it when Donald Trump was elected. People were screaming their heads off, and I'm like, that's demonic. I'm just saying. And the ones who are screaming the loudest in our modern culture today are the ones who are in the deepest sin. And the reason that's happening is because Satan doesn't want to let go of the grip that he has on them. And these impure spirits didn't want to let go, but they had to because of the power of Jesus Christ. And those people were radically transformed by the gospel. And where there is biblical preaching, there will be people who will be radically transformed by God, supernaturally transformed. See, a church shouldn't be a place where we have superficial meetings, where we just go through the motions, where we indulge in religious exercises. The Bible says this in Timothy and in Titus. It says that those people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power therein. It's superficial. But where the true gospel is being preached, you have supernatural things taking place in people's lives. Things that men can't take credit for, that only God can take credit for. And as Philip was preaching, there was response. And the demons of hell didn't want to let go. You might be going through a difficult situation. You might have a family member that's living ungodly. Sinful desires are ruining their lives and wrecking their lives and wreaking havoc upon your family as a result of all of that. And if you think that those things are going to let go easily, you're mistaken. However, the Bible says that we in Christ can bring down strongholds with the truth of God's word, disarming them. We have the power of God in the words of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will go. The Bible, the word of God, will never return void. It will always go and accomplish its purposes. There is a pastor, Andy Stanley. Gosh, I said it. But I don't mean to look down upon him, but I'm calling out these guys that are spreading heresies and lies. And Andy just recently put out another video of him preaching, saying basically that the church has messed up and we have attached ourselves to the authority of the Bible when we should be attaching ourselves to the authority of Jesus in Matthew 28. And the silliness about that concept and that statement is that you cannot detach the authority of Jesus from His Word. And when we preach the Word, God supernaturally speaks to those who are at attention and who are listening. And the seed of God's word is planted within them. And the Holy Spirit begins to do His work within their hearts. And when they receive Christ, there's transformation that takes place within them. Because listen, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. See, the Holy Spirit is kicking out them impure spirits, those impure spirits. They can't reside in the same place that the Holy Spirit lives. And then I want you to see the final thing, the results of biblical preaching. Great joy and blessing comes to a city. Woo! I can camp here. Great joy and blessings come to a city. Look at what it says here in verse 8. So there was great joy in that city. Wow, I had to really dig hard to come up with that point. I love the Word of God is just so clear, so much. Great joy and blessing came to that city. Now, were there pagans there? Oh yeah, you're going to see. We're going to study about Simon the sorcerer. A church and a group of people that are involved in biblical preaching and biblical teaching will be a blessing to their community. They will be a blessing to their city. And great joy and blessing will come because some young people who are going down a terrible road were snatched out of the grips of the satanic claw, and they were transformed and translated in the kingdom of God Himself. And it becomes a blessing to a city, to a family, rather than those young people going a different way. When a dad gives his life to Christ and he starts leading his family to a place of worship, to come together, to gather together with the ecclesia, with the church, and they become part of a family of believers, that family is blessed in a great way because of the preaching of the gospel. And great joy can come to that home. When a dad says, I'm not the man I used to be, and I'm transformed by the gospel of Christ. Now, he's still working on me, and he's still growing me, but your daddy's a new man. Not only will that home be blessed, but that city will be blessed, and it'll bring great joy to that city. Y'all remember a few years ago, there was a horrific shooting that took place in all places, Gilchrist County, smallest county in the state of Florida. Two faithful deputies were eating in a little restaurant there that's on the left on your way into Trenton. And a deranged, demonic lunatic walked in there and assassinated those two men. I don't know if you remember that, but do you remember the heartache it caused our surrounding area? City of Newberry held a meeting one night. I was out of town. I was preaching, and I remember I was preaching in near Lake Charles, Louisiana, in a revival meeting there, and when all that happened, and I just wanted to come home. Our community was hurting, and I wanted to be here. I didn't want to be over there. And great pain came to a community. In the same way that pain comes, when the gospel is preached and lives are transformed, it brings joy to a community, to a city, to a people. It's incumbent upon us, church, to be that light where we're planted right here. We live in a world now where we're not just the church for everybody that lives around here, but we are a church for a larger region. And we have people that come from Gainesville and outside of Gainesville, east of Gainesville, north of Gainesville, south of Gainesville, and all the little communities all around us, Micanopy and Manioka, and I mean, you can go on and on. And then you can go out west toward Gilchrist County, and I mean, Alachua and High Springs and Newberry and Archer and on and on and on and on. You can go. We've got, in most churches today, have a regional impact of some kind. But we can only be that blessing if we preach the truth. We preach the gospel. We love the people as Christ has commanded us to do so. And persecution may come our way. It might. I remember during all the COVID hysteria, remember when Alachua County had their emergency orders. Almost sounds like Nazism, doesn't it? Whenever a government starts saying orders, question it. We were deemed non-essential, every church in Alachua County. But stores, people have to eat. Yeah, they have to eat spiritually too. Bar rooms, those places were still open. It's amazing how somebody just would have pinned and said, okay, these places are essential and so forth and so on. And remember when we started to meet again? We came back on Mother's Day 2020. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the office after our second Sunday service, and Alachua County was huffing and puffing, especially the commissioners, on Zoom every week, saying they were going to send people into grocery stores and into places of business. And if people weren't masking up, if people weren't following the lines on the floor, the dumbest thing I've ever seen, if people weren't doing whatever they said they had to do, they were going to be given a citation or a ticket or what have you. Second week after we had gathered together, somebody walked into the office, heard the door, and I stepped out of my office, and there was a sheriff's deputy standing with some papers in his hand. And I thought, I'm going to jail. I really did. And then it wasn't about that. It was about something else. We were being subpoenaed because we had an issue with a company that had done some bad work for us, but we ended up paying them. But nonetheless, I thought about that. And you know, going back, Alachua County had a lot of bark, but they didn't have any bite. And I realized that we became a great blessing, our church did, just for opening up. But secondly, I think because we were preaching the Bible, biblical preaching, biblical teaching, and I say we, it's all of us together. It's not just me. It's all of us. And great joy and blessing came to a lot of people. That is what happens when we preach the truth. Oh yeah, there's going to be shrieks. There are going to be demonic yellings. There are going to be people who are going to not like it. Look, I used to be heavily involved with Newberry football, as you all know. I used to be more involved as a chaplain. They still call me Pastor Corey over there, or PC, and I'm still involved a little bit in that way. We paint the field, as you know. But so Trey can tell you when he played, I was really involved, and I gave the pregame speech every Friday, and we, you know, we had a little chapel service, and we did all of that. But even right now, last year, don't go to a lot of away games anymore. Sometimes I will. It just depends what's going on. Point I'm making is that most of the boys there, I would think, have no idea that they view me as that. But contrary to my thought process, they do. I had a young man grab me right before a game. I decided to go to an away game last year, and Penny didn't come with me. So Penny didn't come with me. I'm not sitting in the stands. I'm going down on the field. I'm going to hang out. I'm going where the action's at, where sweat's flying. And so I was down there pregame, and one of the young men grabbed me, and he said, "Pastor, would you pray with me?" I said, "Yes, sir." And we both got down on our knees, and I laid my hands on his head, and I prayed for him. I didn't pray for them to win. I prayed for him to be a shining light of Jesus, even in everything that he does on the football field, and God would protect him and keep him safe, and that he would be an example to his teammates. And I came away from that. There are people that are going to scream and holler, that don't want anybody praying. Those boys, listen, if you meet with them after a game and coach says, "All right, let's go," and whoa, they'll start, "We didn't close out in prayer." The boys will say that. And most of the time coaches don't forget. But every now and then, you know, they've got a lot going on. And the boys want you to pray with them. And I've heard a little bit of yakking out there in the community. "I can't believe they're doing that praying and all of that." Yeah. See, the demons don't want that. They don't want Christian influence anywhere. And they don't want the gospel to go out. So they're going to make some noise. But you and me, let's keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching Jesus. Keep bringing a biblical response, and it'll bring joy to the people. Let's stand together, everybody. Father, we thank you for this beautiful picture that we see of your people, not just Philip. People that are not named went everywhere as they were scattered, preaching the message of Jesus, unafraid, full of boldness. May we always be a church, in spite of what the culture is all about, would be a church that's founded upon the unshakable rock of Jesus Christ, the truth of God through His Word that will last forever. As we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but God, Your Word, will never pass away. Help us to be about that. Encourage us. I pray for the mom and dad who are trying to impart this to their teenagers and feel like they're losing the battle. May they realize that everything they say is being heard. Everything they preach is going deep within the heart. And some are paying attention. I pray for the husband or for the wife that has an unbelieving spouse. May they lovingly do their best to live out that life, to be unashamed in their faith. And may their loved ones see the transformation power of Jesus in them. Thank you
for this example of biblical preaching. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As our team leads us, I don't mean to say you know the drill, because it's not a drill, but you let the Lord lead you. You can come and pray. The Lord's leading you to our church. You want to make a commitment to Christ. You follow Him. Amen.